Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Join us right now on the Matt Swartz Hotline. It is Morgan Moses, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Morgan.
How you doing, buddy?
Nice to have you on after a win.
Finally.
Hey, what do we call it? Victory Monday?
Yes,
Victory
sir.
Victory Monday.
Doesn't it feel good?
What did you do after the victory yesterday? You do anything special? You have a nice dinner? What did you do post-game?
I did, man. I had a nice dinner and just hung out with the family and watched some Sunday night football.
How was the game from your perspective as it's unfolding? For fans, it was frustrating because guys were getting open. Dwayne wasn't sort of in sync yet, but he did just enough to get in position. Special teams was outstanding. You get the dub. I saw how excited you were on the sideline for Dwayne in particular. Talk about what the game was like from your perspective.
You know, just looking at the overall game, we missed some opportunities early on and down later in the game as well. I think the great takeaway of it, though, is we came away with points just about, you know, every possession that we had, you know, whether it was a field goal. And that's something that we stressed all week was, hey, maintaining drives and driving down the field and coming away with points, whether it's a touchdown or 3 points.
Can you fill us in on what happened Saturday night? There's a lot of reporting about this team meeting. What was it like for you?
It was great, man. I think we needed it as a whole. You know, when you're on a losing streak and, you know, things are not going your way as a team and you're down in the dumps kind of, and you're trying to dig yourself out of it. Callahan, he's a great coach. He's a great motivator. I played for him for years now, as an offensive line coach, and just simply just came out and just gave it the truth that, you know, we have to step up as individuals and we have to step up and play collectively as a team.
Was he yelling? Because, like, when you see him in the press conference, he seems so reserved. He seems different from the guy that coached in college or coached in Oakland 20 years ago. Now, you know, you talk about the yoga he's into. He's very zen.
He's all zenned out, man.
Does he scream at you guys when he needs to?
I know the true Callahan, so I've been coached by him for 5 years now, so I've seen the good and the ugly. But it was just something that we needed. You know, we have a lot of great talent on this team, and you can see it every week. You know, in our defense, they played a hell of a game. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the younger guys on the defense stepped up. You know, Cole Holcomb had a wonderful game. Fabian had a wonderful game. You know, Dunbar, he's always competitive, and he's always, you know, shows up every week. And I think, you know, in the middle with, you know, Deron Payne out, Tim Settle, a young guy who got his second career start, came out and played as good as, you know, anyone.
Was it weird for you guys as vets, especially, to see Josh Norman on the sideline instead of starting the game yesterday?
You know, it's a collective decision. You know, either coaches, you know, they sit down week by week and go over, you know, guys, and, you know, we're not in those meetings, so we don't know what goes on. But they decide to make a decision, and, you know, as the coaches, they get paid to make, you know, put the players in the best, and the team in the best, the best, you know, possibilities to win on Sundays. So just looking at it, you know, it is what it is. You know, I know Josh Norman. I know he's an unselfish player, and I know he's going to work hard throughout the weeks to make sure he's back on his P's and Q's and get out there and play like the superstar he is.
What happened, you know, one thing that I thought was impressive was at least the game plan seems to be opened up a little bit. You may not love it as much. I know guys on the offensive line love to run block and smash people. But I like that they allowed Dwayne, even though he didn't connect on a lot of it, to at least open up the passing attack. Why was the rushing attack, though, not as successful this week?
I think when you look at it, we ran the ball pretty well. You know, I'm not sure what the average was. But like I said before, the opportunities of running ball, it's not all about getting 6 or 7 yards. It's being able to run the ball successfully so you can play action. You know, I know Dwayne hit a couple of guys in the middle of the field off of play action. So when you continually run the ball, no matter how many yards you get or whatever, you're still getting double teams on the D-line. They're wearing the D-lineman out, and it opens up a whole offense. And so we're being able to run the ball successfully and open up that play-action game. So mm-hmm. I think Kevin Harmon had a big a 20-yard reception over the middle on the play-action, some guys. And I think the biggest thing to take away, you know, was how Dwayne was able to spread the ball out.
Yeah, he spread it out to some extent. Now, there were only 13 completions, so don't get carried away, Morgan.
No, I'm not.
I mean, it was 13 completions, 12 targets to McLaurin, which we love. Terry can't be stopped. I wanted to ask you about one play which you were involved in, the first Haskins turnover, which was the fumble. It was your guy, but I thought you actually blocked fairly well. It looked like Haskins stepped up. Maybe he didn't know what happened. Can you fill us in on that play?
You know, I think it was, like you said, it was the first drive, and, you know, the guy was coming with the bull rush. I was blocking. I was hopping back. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really watched the film. We'll get in there and watch the film today. I think the key for me is just to, you know, shore up that block a little bit better for Haskins. You know, it's a little different playing with a cast on one hand, but, you know, I got to make sure the pocket's a little bit cleaner for Haskins. And, you know, I think the big key of it is when I talked to Haskins on the sideline, was like, hey, man, forget it, let's go. And I think that next drive we came down and went we kicked the field goal for three. I think it was like an 8 or 9 play drive.
He seems to do a decent job of putting the pass behind him, right? If he makes a mistake or it's a 3-and-out or misses an open guy, he seems to be able to rally from it. That's one thing I notice.
I think one thing that I learned this week about Haskins, and obviously the Jets game was, you know, something that it was hard to swallow for all of us on the offense. But his composure, he doesn't get rattled. He's a young quarterback in a huddle with, you know, veteran offensive linemen, and he's trying to lead. He's getting in, and he's doing a great job of what he's doing, man. He's getting there. He's getting us out the huddle. He's going through his cadences. He's looking at the defense and he's redirecting us to where he wants us to go and things like that. If it's a second play call that he has, he's doing well to get into that second play call. And I just think one thing that stepped up was that showed me this week was the composure, just the way to stick with it. You know, just looking at it, you know, I can tell you right now, he'll tell you that he has some balls that he will want back. But, you know, he continually just growing. And as he's growing as a young quarterback and getting these vital reps in practice, you can see that he's getting more comfortable and the opportunities that we're getting on offense. He's getting the ball down the field. I know the completion rating is probably not what you want it to be, but just being able to move the ball down the field and get points, he's done a great job of doing that.
Joined by Redskins right tackle Morgan Moses, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. So give us your opinion on the selfie. Big deal, no big deal. He wasn't out there for the last play. Case Keenum had to come in there for victory formation.
You know, it's just a young quarterback, man. He's in the moment. You know, he thought, from what I heard, he thought he missed he thought the game was over. I mean, the guy got his first career. I'm not going to sit here and beat him up on him not being out there on the snap. You know, as a young guy, you know, he just has to be a little more locked in and focused on that. But, man, we got the win. He got his first career win. It was big for him. He was hugging everybody. We were emotional on the sideline. It was a great feeling for him. And, you know, I know the coaches will get to it and correct it. So.
Now, what explain to the fans and remind me, so what's the difference for the week beyond just the tone when you win versus you lose? They give you, an extra half day off or something? How does that work?
No, not at all. I mean, we're back in here today and getting it going, man. We got to prepare for the Carolina Panthers, who are a great team. They're, you know, they're having some struggles. You know, I think they lost last night or yesterday. They have a young quarterback, but they're talented. You know, you look on their defense side, they're a talented defense. They got the,
they get after the quarterback. I think they're one of the league leaders in sacks.
Yeah, and they got they have an awesome running back over there. So we have to prepare for them. You know, we got to prepare for them because, you know, they're a hungry team. And I know from prior years of playing in Carolina, their fans are going to be ready for them to play.
Gotcha. All right, well, listen, congratulations. Enjoy it. I know some fans around here just want to see the team lose and tank and draft the highest pick possible. But, you know, I, for one, as a fan, like to see you boys win. If you go out there and you're playing the young players and you're trying to develop them, you know, you got to win sometimes, too. So I'm thrilled you guys got the dub.
Real quick, Morgan, you said you watched some of the other NFL games, right?
Mm-hmm.
What jumped out at you watching some of the later games?
Well, just I think we're the only NFC East team that won yesterday. So that's always good, right? Watching that San Francisco game last night, man. I just playing them earlier in the season. Their defense just showed out. They have a great defensive scheme. Those guys are playing together. They're playing well. You know, I got drafted in Jimmy Garoppolo's draft class, and so just to see him come along and see how he's playing, it's great.
By the way, Carolina, who's your next opponent, they are second in the NFL in sacks. San Francisco, number one with 44. Carolina's got 41, so going to be a tall task for your line.
Yes, sir.
All right. Congratulations, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Yep, you guys have a good one.
Yep, all right, you too, Morgan. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, Jimmy G, it's weird because when I watch him, it doesn't look overly impressive. I think if you looked at his numbers, they're not overly impressive. And I know a lot of people like to discount wins. Wins don't mean anything nowadays. It's all about the analytics. Guy, his winning record is it's absurd.
Yeah.
His winning percentage.
Yeah.
He's got a nice chemistry with Kittle, too, when he's healthy. And Kittle was back on the field, found the end zone last night.
That guy's a beast.
He's absolutely a beast.
That guy's an absolute beast. Imagine if the Skins had him. Instead, we got Jeremy Sprinkle. Forget about Jordan Reed. That's just never going to happen.
And Vernon Davis.
Yeah, but even Vernon would have been a huge help.
I think they shut down Vernon Davis the rest of the season, right?
I think so. I mean, he's on the injured list. But in theory, I think they could pull him back if they wanted. But clearly, they've shut him down.
Kittle was a fifth-round pick, too. So right. You hit on a guy like that, he becomes a Pro Bowler. I mean, that's just gold.
Right.
Yeah. That just rarely, if ever, happens.
Yeah. Right, we got Chris Thompson joining us at 9 o'clock, so we will talk more Redskins. I can tell you, are you itching to do some EP?
No, not really. I actually would like to tangle with folks that I get annoyed by people that think we should just lose everything. Right. Like if there are Skins fans out here that are pissed that they won.
You want the tankers to call in?
Yeah, I'm happy to tangle with you because you're playing the young players. They're doing the right things. You can't just expect them. You can't just want them to lose every week. This is insane to me.
Yeah. I also would like to hear from people who actually were at the game because Cakes and I played this game on the pregame show. It was just fill in the blank, but it was fun. It was like how much people paid to go to the Redskins game.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just amazing how you can go to a game now, sit in the 50-yard line, be down low for like $15.
Yeah. I saw my brother took at least one of his kids to the game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a spur of the moment decision.
Yeah, you get a bargain. It's like, you know, you want to take your kids to a pro game. Now you can for like $15.
He looked like he was pretty low.
Yeah.
He looked like he was sitting pretty close.
You got good seats. Well, there was nobody in the upper bowl.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us every Monday at this time is Chris Thompson, Redskins running back. Presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
So we thought you might be playing yesterday. Tell us how the week went and why you ended up not being on the field yesterday.
It was kind of a coach's decision. Me and Coach Callahan sat down Saturday morning and just talked. And, you know, we both decided just based off how I felt and what he saw out there in the practices that we should probably wait another week and just plan to play in Carolina.
How are you feeling?
I mean, there were instances out there when I would get sore on certain plays, and then, you know, it would go away. The pain will completely go away pretty fast, but would just kind of flare back up on me. And I think that's all part of having this injury is, you know, trying to get used to that and stuff. And this was my first week of getting into practices and everything. And,
right.
You know, he was saying based off what he saw and based off, you know, my feedback to him and my running back coach, just thought it was the best thing to do.
So, Chris,
the smartest thing to do.
Right.
Did you dodge that tongue lashing that we heard Coach Callahan gave the team on Saturday night? Did you miss that?
No, I was in there.
Oh, you were?
What was that like? Describe that for us. Because we see him, he's so zen and quiet in these post-game pressers. Mm-hmm. You know, damn near puts us to sleep. I mean, does he raise his voice in a situation like that, or what's it like?
Yeah, he does. He raises his voice a bit and just voiced some frustration about some things, and you know, that was pretty much it. And he said what he needed to say and he felt like it needed to be said, and that was just pretty much it. Things haven't been too well, you know, been going on well around here, and he just just had a moment and you know, he needed to get it out.
Right. And then how was it taken by the guys? I mean, did you guys take what he said as valid?
Yeah, I mean, we're grown men and we're here in this situation. So, a lot of the things he said, you know, we were right there with him. We understood his frustrations and as players and coaches, there's a lot of those things that, you know, we got to fix.
Right.
And that was pretty much it.
What was your vantage point for the game yesterday? Where were you?
I was on the field yesterday.
You were on the field. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So what did you see? What were you encouraged by? When we're watching it from home, we're getting pretty discouraged because Dwayne is missing some open guys. Mm-hmm. But to his credit, he put it together and completed a few throws when he needed to down the stretch. And thankfully for the special teams was amazing yesterday. You guys were able to pull that one out. What did you see?
I just like overall in all three phases, we obviously had a lot of missed opportunities on offense. Couple touchdowns we left out there. And I think that's something that Dwayne himself is going to see as well as the pass catches and everything and just figure out how to put that part of the game together and not let those opportunities slip. But D-Hop came in. He was able to get us four field goals, and Steven Sims had the big touchdown on special teams, and our defense played good and was able to help us, you know, be in some situations to be able to win the game. And I love what I saw out of Dwayne and the young receiving core we had out there as far as dealing with that situation at the end of the game to be able to get us down there and get us in field goal range. That was, I mean, some great poise by those guys, and it was something good to see. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, the fans should be excited about in the future, because no doubt in my mind, Dwayne is gonna he's gonna hit those missed opportunities, and if it's crunch time, he can you see he can handle that. He can handle that pressure as well, and it's only going to get better for him with experience.
Joined by Redskins running back Chris Thompson, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Can you recall being around a rookie wide receiver as talented as McLaurin, as developed as he is this early in his career?
No. Hmm. Terry is he's on another level, honestly. I mean, to say he wasn't the top receiver, the number one option at Ohio State is just crazy to me, I guess, on the type of talent that they had there. Yeah, he was the fourth guy there. Like, it's crazy, but I'm glad we got him. And his mindset as a being a young guy is just, you know, it's like no other. This guy, he's coming in just trying to get better. Even when he has his great games, it's, you know, it's all right, I got to get to work the next day, or, you know, I might not have ran this route right yesterday and missed out on some opportunities. That's the type of guy he is, and he's just trying to continue to get better every day, and I love to see it.
Let's talk about Dwayne's game a little bit. You know, we have been hearing whispers all along that he was, you know, sort of raw, unpolished. There was a lot to work with. There was a hesitation to really get him going. And you saw that early on. They slowly worked him in, right? They were pounding the football in the first few weeks. But now they're giving him more opportunity. And, I mean, I think he is every bit as raw and as unpolished as people are saying. But I think the encouraging thing is, at least from my perspective, being just a big, dumb couch potato, he appeared to be making the right reads. He was throwing to the right guys. He just wasn't connecting on them. If he can tighten that up a little bit, take a little off his fastball, we might have something there.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely see the potential, and I could see the growth too, as far as him going through his progressions and sitting, you know, being able to just sit there in the pocket when the pressure is coming, and you know, those little things, you know, as far as you know, having the overthrows and the accuracy issues, that's something that he's going to get better at. And I mean, we got a lot of coaches here as well that used to play quarterback. So they're helping him with, you know, his speed and, you know, and all that kind of good stuff, like the small things that help you with that accuracy and stuff. And I think he's going to get better. And, you know, some of them, from what I can see and from what I think, I believe he was just anxious, and especially one that he had to Terry. I believe he was just anxious and
which one? He had two of them there.
The first one.
I think it. I believe it might have been the first one.
Yeah,
where he was running
on the left side.
I'll just call it an over route. He came from the right to the left.
Right.
I believe that was the first one.
Right.
The Sims. There was the Sims action to the right, and then McLaurin streaking across the field.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if you watched any of the highlights of other games. Russell Wilson missed one with the tight end about 10 yards in front of him, uncovered. Mm-hmm.
Everybody just misses throws. Everybody misses throws.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to happen. So
the other thing I liked, and I don't know, I might even incorporate a little bit of this more into the game, is his legs. He created a couple big first downs with his legs, and, you know, that wasn't really advertised. When we drafted him, I think he's more mobile than people thought. I don't know. Maybe we could incorporate that a little bit more. Maybe a design run or two every once in a while.
Yeah, he can run a little bit, and you know, but his game, he likes to be a guy that can just sits back and is a pocket passer. But when he needs to take off and go, he can do it, and he did it, and was able to give us a big time first down. And you know, there's some things in there, you know, I would like for him to be, and everybody would like for him to be a little smarter. You know, he kind of dove out there. You'd like to see it, but at the same time, you know, you want to make sure your guys is protecting himself. So,
right.
Yeah.
What'd you see as far as the running game? Because Darius and Adrian couldn't really get going. They had their moments. Rushing, the average is held up a lot by Dwayne's three runs. I think Dwayne averaged about 9 yards a carry. So that kind of helped the team average. It didn't seem like there were huge holes there. I don't know. What did you see?
Yeah, it was just a tough out, and I didn't really just looking at the pictures on the sidelines, and I didn't really see much out there. I think there were a couple runs that I even talked to AP about, and he came at me about that. He thought maybe he could have stuck, you know, kept some of them, but he could have bounced a couple of runs instead of just going, you know, right up the middle. And, you know, you see it, we'll get to see it and get a better understanding of things today, because when you look at a steel picture, it's totally different. You know, those pictures are being taken, and it can show you a big gap that's there, but in, you know, a snap of a finger, that linebacker or whatever can be coming over the top and filling that gap. We got to see. It's just didn't have the best day. I mean, guys was able to get, you know, a couple good runs, but we knew they had a pretty good run defense. So it was going to be a battle, and we just weren't really able to get it done there. Thankfully, you know, we could do it in other phases.
Who jumped out at you defensively? Some of the young guys had some impact yesterday.
Yeah. Cole for sure. I mean, I still love watching him, and you know, everybody has been you know, waiting for to see more and more out of Sweat as he's getting used to you know, playing in the league and getting this experience. And you know, I was also happy to see, you know, Fabe was able to get a start this week, and he caught two big interceptions. And you know, that's the type of things you want to see out of young guys.
Right.
So you think you guys can keep this thing going against Carolina?
I sure hope so. That's the plan. We just got to, you know, we got to get this, watch this film from yesterday, and, you know, just move on and figure out, number one, how we're going to contain 22.
Right.
And then, you know, go from there.
When are you expecting to practice this week?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm expecting to.
And that will be what day? Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday would be your first crack at it. All right, well, listen, we miss seeing you out there, man. You're definitely one of the guys. You know, they don't have that many explosive players. You're one of them. We need you out there. So hopefully you're healthy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out there and help my guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chris. You're a class guy. I always appreciate having you every week.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, CT.
All right.
It's Chris Thompson, Redskins running back, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Yeah, it's just nice talking to these guys after a win. I actually said it last week when we had Morgan Moses on last week.
Yeah.
And he said, had he known that they were going to start off the year 1-9, he might not have agreed to come on weekly.
Right. Nobody wants
to
do it.
Stand-up guy, and he's been coming on weekly, as has Chris Thompson.
Nobody likes it. I know people
Chris Thompson's been coming on weekly.
He's not even playing.
After losses and not even playing.
Right. I know people think we relish, like, losses. We don't.
No.
Winning trounces everything. See the Nats. See the Caps.
Take a look at our October ratings. They were a show.
Yeah. We're desperate for a winner.
Yes.
That's all we want is wins.
Imagine. I always talk about that Bostonian-like run. Eliminate the other sports. Eliminate the Red Sox winning the World Series, the Bruins winning their Stanley Cup. I guess they did that once. And the Celtics, who've been good. Eliminate that all. The Patriots have had 17 straight 10-win seasons or more.
Unbelievable.
At a minimum, they go 10-6.
Have we had any 10-win seasons? Would we have one?
Two under Snyder's reign of terror.
It's been so bad. It's been the exact opposite here. It's been the exact opposite here, actually.
I mean, the last time they got in the playoffs, they were 9-7. Time before that, I feel like Gibbs might have had one 10-6.
Did Gibbs have one? I feel like Norv had one.
I'm going to double check it.
I feel like Norv had one.
But I think Cakes is right. Maximum two.
I'm
going to
confirm
it.
All right, Snyder took over in 99, correct?
Yes.
All right,
we should have these numbers memorized by now. How do we not? We look them up all the time.
99, does that count for him? 10 wins?
Was that?
Yes.
I guess.
So that counts. All right, another 10-win season in 05. And then.
That was Gibbs, wasn't it?
And then 2012. That was it.
All right, joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports senior writer. What's up, Jay?
Why are you guys even on the air? Why are you not just taking to the streets, pants off, running, screaming, celebrating? Redskins won! Redskins won!
It is unbelievable. It kind of feels that way, to be honest with you. It's been 13 months.
It's been very lean here, especially at FedEx Field, getting home wins.
I mean, it's really been bad, Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, you know, I have family that loves the Redskins. I've got family that lives in D.C.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for you just kind of by proxy.
Yeah, yeah, it's awful, and it's gotten so bad that people just want to lose on purpose just to get the highest draft pick you possibly can, and that's
which is the sign of a it's a sign of kind of a broken fan base, isn't it? Because you know, once you just give up, you know, you just there's nothing more for you at that point. There's no guarantees.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, look, let's be honest. I don't think that win transforms the trajectory of the season. This is a 2 or 3 win team at best, barring some miraculous finish, which I don't think anybody sees. I think it's okay to be rewarded every once in a while. They're playing the young guys, and while Haskins struggled through most of the game, I'd probably give him a D for how he performed through most of the game. He did put together 2 drives good enough to get 2 field goals and get a dub. And every once in a while, it feels good to win again.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And you need small incremental steps. I mean, not every guy is going to be Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck back in the day just stepping in and all of a sudden transforming a team. You need that small success so that he doesn't just come into work every single day thinking this is going to be a slog and a death march.
Yeah, and then, you know, he is getting killed nationally for the selfie thing. I think for the most part, people here locally are just giving him a pass. It's a rookie, an embarrassing mistake, but no big deal. But nationally, I'm not sure they have the same perspective.
Oh, that's garbage. I agree with the local. I mean, it's a selfie. They won a game. He's a rookie. Let it go. There is so much posturing and so much fake moralizing in the NFL media. It's ridiculous. Just kind of play the game the way they used to. You know, yes, Bear Bryant did not take selfies. I think we can agree on that. But, you know, Vince Lombardi never took a selfie. But so what? It's a game. This is supposed to be fun, and it had no impact whatsoever on the outcome of the game. Why not let the guy have a little fun?
Speaking of fun, this has no impact on anything, but yesterday I happened to see a little, it wasn't the pregame show because 2 of us do a pregame show, so I don't ever have a chance to see it. I saw him at halftime, Rob Gronkowski, and you have a funny visual on your Twitter. Give us Rob Gronkowski on the Patriots versus Rob Gronkowski on TV.
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, Rob, I don't know how this happened, but somehow Rob Gronkowski has lost an awful lot of weight since he stopped playing football. And so I did the you know, the Captain America of the Avengers Endgame versus Captain America before he went through the super soldier procedure when he was just a little skinny kid with a helmet dangling on top of his head. I mean, that's what Gronk looks like now. Other people said he looked like a James Bond villain or something like that, which is all true. But it is remarkable the difference that you go through. That's all I'm going to say. It's remarkable the physical difference when you stop playing football that your body goes through.
Well, plus he went on TV. He's wearing a mock turtleneck. That's like a 60-year-old dude look. It's not a look for Gronk.
I know, and he had the chin stubble and all of that. He looked like he was trying to be smart or something like that. I'm really bummed that he didn't have the fake glasses on. That would have been just the best if he had like the clear glasses on. But he's almost there already.
Now, I think you wrote about Cowboys-Patriots, so that's a rivalry that never, it's one that should have happened but never really happened, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know that I'm on thin ice here talking about the Cowboys in Washington, but, I mean, you know, they do draw huge ratings. Even now, even though they sucked for 2 decades, they do still draw huge ratings. And obviously, the Patriots have been the dominant team of the last 2 decades. And I always thought it was a bit of a shame that we didn't have these 2 juggernauts kind of going at each other. But obviously, the blame lies with the Cowboys. And as we saw last night, we saw why. I mean, they have all the tools there, but they always seem to have one missing element. Right now, it's coaching. And so it's a bit of a shame that we haven't gotten to see these 2 kind of classic franchises go at each other any more than once every 4 years.
What do you make of the Patriots, though? It's always difficult to gauge them. I mean, they're always going to win 10 games. I do. They have 17 straight seasons. And the defense looks like it's, you know, maybe one of the best defenses that Bills had there. But offensively, they seem to be sputtering. Brady seems to be showing signs of age. They don't have a lot of great weapons. I just don't know what to make of them.
I mean, if they just bring out Julian Edelman, they can trot that dude out for the next 40 years and he'll somehow figure a way to bail them out of all their problems. But, yeah, you pegged it exactly. I mean, the defense, I'm not sure it's quite as world-beating as we thought in the first part of the season simply because they were just beating up on terrible teams. But they're certainly obviously good enough to shut down the number one offense in the league. And obviously the Cowboys weren't helped by both the weather and their own coaching ineptitude. But you're right. Things are getting creaky. Patriots fans are not going to hit us, but Brady is – he is a lot closer to the end, maybe, than even people think. So I don't think it's going to come easy. But everybody else in the AFC, just about with the exception of Baltimore, seems to be rolling over at this point. So it's going to be a fun playoffs no matter what.
Joined by Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports senior writer on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. You're based in Atlanta, and that's a team I just cannot get a bead on. They go back-to-back win divisional road games against the Saints and the Panthers the last 2 weeks, allowing 12 points. And then they get a home date with the Bucs. You figure they'd be able to take advantage of Jameis Winston. Instead, Winston shreds them. Godwin couldn't be stopped in that game. They lose 35-22. I can't figure out your Falcons.
I'm sorry, what team are you talking about here? We're all Georgia Bulldogs fans down here. We do not respect the existence of an NFL team. It's all dogs. No, it's incredibly frustrating for Falcons fans because, I mean, there was obviously no chance they were going to make a playoff run, but, you know, you want to have a little bit of respectability. And those last 2 weeks were more than respectable. They were great. They went 10 quarters without giving up a touchdown. They took it to Drew Brees. I mean, it's really the kind of thing that gives you a little bit of hope as a Falcons fan, and then they just absolutely just crap the bed right there against Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, of all people, who gives out touchdowns like Christmas presents, gives out interceptions like Christmas presents, and then the Falcons can't do anything with them. So, yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. Whatever slim hope that Dan Quinn might have had of saving his job, I think, vanished yesterday.
By the way, what do you make of Jake Fromm and the next level? What do I see him being projected as a second rounder these days? Is that sort of the current hot take? And you know, how do you think his game translates?
I think that, I mean, people put the phrase game manager as a negative. I don't think it is at all. I think especially if you're looking at having a long, long career, holding a clipboard and being a backup and being kind of a go-to guy, a Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you will, for your career, I think that's the trajectory that Jake Fromm is on. He's not necessarily going to be the guy that transforms a franchise, but he's not going to lose you a whole lot of games either. So, yeah, he's obviously going to go early in the draft, and he's going to have plenty of notoriety. I don't see him changing the trajectory of a franchise, but I think he's got a good long NFL career ahead of him.
Any chance he stays for his last year?
You know what? I don't think so, just because I honestly, off the top of my head, I'm not sure who they've got behind them at quarterback, but they do have a lot of running back talent that continues to cycle through. So he might be able, he might just decide, hey, this is as good as it's going to get, and I'm going to roll on.
Are you as surprised as most by Lamar Jackson's impact on the Ravens this year?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I will say that I am surprised. Yes, I didn't think that it was going to be quite this quick and dramatic and definitive. But, yeah, I mean, I love multidimensional quarterbacks. I love quarterbacks that will do a lot more than just pocket passing, just drop it back and throw it. So, yes, it's great to see Lamar Jackson, and I hope that he opens up a lot of minds. As you can tell, I'm not a big fan of the kind of this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're going to keep on doing it. And that philosophy permeates the NFL. And so hopefully this will open minds to have a little bit more broader offense and look at quarterbacks in college as quarterbacks in the pros, too.
All right, Jay, always love having you on. This is Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Take care, boys.
Yep, have a good Thanksgiving.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.